Dear family and friends of St. Kieran's, please join us for our Christmas Day devotion, and I trust you will be blessed by it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit who leads us into all truth and leads us on the journey to the birth of your Son Jesus. And so help us to understand it better so that our lives will be fuller and our witness more sure. For we ask it in his name. Amen. Our reading for today is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verse 1 to 20, and I'm reading from the NIV. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David," meaning Bethlehem, "a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men, on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Just to there, and may God bless his word to us today and always. We discover in this story how God will sometimes come to us in a manner that disrupts how we understand and reflect on life. This will have been the experience of the shepherds. One minute they were watching their flocks by night. The next, the heavens light up with God's glory and the appearance of an angel of the Lord. The response of these tough, rugged men? Absolute terror. The Greek here for terrified literally means they feared a great fear, to stress the intensity of their fear, at which the angel tries to calm them down with the assurance that his appearance is so that good news of great joy for all people could be announced. The good news was the arrival of the one called Christ the Lord, the one whom God had been speaking of in Holy Scripture for ages and ages, but now he had finally come according to God's perfect timing. The shepherds are pointed to a sign that would confirm the truthfulness of what they had just been told. In the nearby town of Bethlehem, they would find a baby wrapped in cloths, in lowly or very modest circumstances, lying in a feeding trough. And with that, the angel is suddenly joined by a multitude of other angels who sing God's praises and so bring to a conclusion this spectacular visitation. I wonder how the shepherds might have responded if the same message had been communicated by a wandering stranger. It's entirely likely that they would have dismissed the man and his story as altogether unbelievable, more likely the ramblings of a drunkard. Instead, not wanting such an important announcement to be lost on this group of shepherds, God has sent his angels to appear in glorious fashion to deliver it. so that they would be stirred up to go and find this child and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. Their response is one of simple faith, for they understood that the angels were speaking for the Lord. They believed the message and went to confirm it for themselves. But, we may ask, why such an event in the first place? Well, the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 2 verse 1 also tells us that Jesus was born in Bethlehem, and later in that chapter also tells how the Jewish chief priests and scribes knew this to be the place designated for the Messiah's birth, citing Micah chapter 5 verse 2. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. So Luke records a separate event that Matthew leaves out, and this would have happened because each writer of the Gospels was inspired by the Holy Spirit to communicate effectively with their first audiences. And so the emphasis each writer brought was different at various points. That said, Luke tells us how God intentionally uses a strange set of circumstances to alert us to the design and scope of His great plan of salvation. It's not produced for the learned or intelligent only. It is not apparent to only the spiritually sensitive. Nor is it accessible to the wealthy and those of social status alone. And we can be certain that it is not aimed at the so-called deserving. For, almost certainly, these shepherds might be deemed unqualified on each point. That Jesus is born into such humble or ordinary circumstances tells us God is no respecter of persons. In fact, He is altogether embracing of people from every tribe, language, nation, and race, all those on whom God's favor rests, to use the words of the angels, who will kneel before Him in faith and awe. Through the lowly birth of the Messiah, God's undeserved favor and salvation peace would be extended to all who receive His offer of salvation. This peace expresses the nature of God's salvation as the restoration of good relations between God and sinful people and all the blessings to be enjoyed as a consequence of this. And so as we draw to a close, we are reminded at Christmas to live as God's people with love and care for all and all things, and to convey a message of hope to a rather hopeless world, remembering that the stable scene is not so much a lovely diorama as it is a sign of God's self-giving love and undeserved favor in the person of Jesus shown to broken people living in a broken world. Isaiah chapter 9 verse 2 and verse 6 to 7 says the following: "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." And so may we go out into the world celebrating not only family and friends, but the day God came to live among us. And so let us pray. God of might and glory, your splendor shines from a manger in Bethlehem, where the light of the world is humbly born into the darkness of human night. Open our eyes to Christ's presence in the shadows of our world, we pray, so that we, like him, may become beacons of light in your name and defenders of all who are defenseless. Amen. And God bless you, and may you have a wonderful Christ-filled Christmas.